What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 49 of Value Town. I'm Chan Man V, joined today here by Raynad, of course, and our guest Monk and Jab. Fresh from the NA championships too. Welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah, welcome. I'm here today just to try to advance my quest to try to get Raynad to know me a little better.
Yeah, do you know what Monk is now, Raynad? I mean.
You met at TwitchCon?
We met at TwitchCon. Is that seriously the first? That's not the first time you guys met, right? No way, right? You guys met a million times, right? Okay, I was going to say, God, I've been gone for a while, but I know I'm not that out of date. Well, we got a lot of things to talk about. It's obviously some huge news yesterday with a little bit of nerfing going on, as well as the BlizzCon NA championships that happened this past weekend. Going to do some card talk as usual, some deck talks, and we're going to introduce a new segment, which is Tink My Deck. It's one of these where the viewers sent in a few decks, and we're just going to give them a few advice, just a little bit of advice on how to make the decks a little bit better. And then at the end, going to be some Q&A, as always. Post your questions here. I'm posting it to the chat right now, and we'll try to get to some of those questions. All right, well, let's kick things off with let's talk a little bit about BlizzCon championships, and then we'll get to the big topic, which is the nerf. This happened this past weekend. Jab, obviously, congrats to you for making it to the semifinals and qualifying for BlizzCon. So that's going to be exciting. But Raynad, you casted too. So overall, guys, what'd you think of the event?
Personally, I liked it. It was one of the better run events that I've been to for Hearthstone. Everything about it was pretty much on point. The rehearsal day before it started on Thursday was a little rough, but aside from that, it ran pretty smoothly. Quick event. I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, there weren't really any issues at all, which is surprising for a big event like that. And obviously it went well since I qualified.
Of course. Monk, what'd you think?
I wasn't at the venue, but I think the Folsom place was really nice. It was a really nice venue. It had there was like an audience available, but it was also like very cordial. Like everyone got to interact with the players. It wasn't like a very official esports arena, but it was like just casual, like how Hearthstone could be.
Yeah, very laid back, yeah. For sure.
So lots of interesting matches. Jab, you were part of at least the biggest finish, which was the match with Trump here. what'd you think about how are you feeling like during that match? Even leading up to the end there.
Well, I started the match 2-0, so I thought I was gonna go 3-0, but the mage was struggling to get a win, and then some crazy stuff happened that I guess we'll talk about.
Yeah, we can actually just show it here real quick. Let me for those of you don't know what I'm talking about. This happened in game 5 at the end.
It is standard to play 2 right now just because of how well it goes with the Ember Tauris.
Fireworks. Round number 3. Where are those missiles?
Yeah, so walk me through a little bit what you're thinking here.
That's a little bit unfortunate for Chuck.
At this point of the game, I really didn't feel like I have a chance of winning. Because I need runner, like good top decks. His line of play he took was to set up the 2-turn lethal, which gave me the out of draw and fireball. Which is probably incorrect, because if he just hero powers every turn, I have to rip, 2 burn spells in a row. I already had played, Dr. Boom and Ragnaros at that point, so I don't really have any threats that, what he had in his hand right here couldn't contest.
Yeah, Trump here, again, he ends up playing the minion. Instead of hero powering, basically being out of range of your fireball ping there, you can kind of see it's a pretty tense moment, too. And I think he ended up tweeting later that he worked out the percentages, and it was basically, something like an 80% chance that he could have won with his move and then a 95% chance that he wins with the other move.
Did he actually calculate that, or...?
No, he estimated it.
He probably estimated it, yeah. But yeah, so you can see the end here, guys. For those of you that missed it was the most exciting part of the weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah, I could have just drawn one of the 2 fireballs with the way it happened made it more crazy.
Spell Slinger into tracking into Fireball. good old. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Yeah. A lot of people complain about this deck since it's basically Casino Mage. But I think, Jab, you played like a version that was like the casinoist of Casino Mages, like with two Spell Slingers, with a Grand Crusader, with Blinktron.
Yeah, it definitely has a lot more RNG cards, but I think they all have like some sort of merit.
Well, I guess we know. I was going to save it for our deck topic. Why don't we just jump to it? Because we kind of brought it up. It was a big topic of conversation, I know, between players and even just folks that I was watching this with. So let me bring it up real quick. So the two decks that we're talking about, I have two decks that we're showing here. One was the one that you actually ran, and then one was, I think, the one that it was inspired by, which was from Root Relin, is that?
Roof Trellin,
okay. Yes. I can't read very well. But there's obviously very unique cards in this deck, some of them being, one of them being Grand Crusader, and the other one being Blinktron. So those are the two, and Spell Slinger too, to an extent, which obviously you ended up benefiting from in the Trump match. But explain those two cards, because a lot of people are like, I can't believe he's playing those two cards. I mean, it's actually ridiculous, crazy.
Yeah, so Roof Trellin, I've been talking to for a couple months. Like, we always share decks with each other. He comes up with a lot of crazy stuff, I would say, and gets like top 10 with it, like consistently. Mm-hmm. Decks like that, Aviana Druid, etc. So Blinktron is kind of like more like a weapon removal card that also doubles as extra burst. Like, it can just be a 5 mana Pyroblast sometimes.
Right, right. Actually, Ray, I remember you used to play Blinktron in some of your aggro decks.
Yeah, I was the first one to play it in the tournament, I think. And then I think I won that tournament. And I was like one of the... Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what it was called. I want to say it was Battle of the Best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I played it in Mech Mage with Water Elementals. But that's a good card. It's kind of like you play it instead of Azurdrake, because you draw like a 0 mana weapon and you sacrifice a bit of the stats. But yeah, it is super RNG, but really good with things like Snowchug or Water Elemental. Even though this deck doesn't have those, it's still probably strong. I'm surprised there's like Grand Crusader instead of a second Azurdrake.
Yeah, explain Grand Crusader, because I think that card surprised everybody.
It's just an extra card to fill up the curve, I guess, because if you didn't run that, then there'd be no 6 drops. So it's kind of played over Sylvanas and... What's the guy that gets spare parts?
Toshley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can kind of compare it to those two, I guess. Sylvanas in a tempo mage deck, I don't see too much implication for it, because usually you just want to be ahead and have enough resources to finish out the game, which Sylvanas is kind of better when you're actually behind, because it'll more likely get value if your opponent has more board than you, which is not what you want. You're probably losing at that point with tempo mage anyway. The Grand Crusader, yeah, it's comparable to Azurdrake, but it has extra stat points and bigger swings, I guess, because you can just get cards like Tyrian, Consecration, Edric, etc.
Have you tried the original version with the Flame Leviathan?
Yeah, that was like targeted towards the Secret Paladin meta on aggro on ladder. Actually, worked pretty well.
Right. Wow. This is the original deck that you modified to get your current deck, right? That you used at the regionals.
Yeah. So the couple cards that were added were Dr. Boom, which is kind of pretty obvious. Like, it's dumb not to play that card. Like, even if I was playing the Leviathan, I'd probably still run Boom in retrospect. And the Flame Cannon was targeted at Druids. Like, Arcane Blast isn't too good when the meta's just Druid, Handlock, Patron. Like, it's just a Flame Waker combo card at that point.
Ray, what do you think of this deck? What do you think of the Grand Crusader?
Like, I think it's... Grand Crusader's fun. I tried the card myself, and it was good, too. I just have nightmares of getting one of the million secrets.
Yeah. Eye for an eye would really suck.
Yeah, I guess the Spellslinger is what surprises me the most. I was only playing like one Arcane Intellect and one Duplicate instead of two Arcane Intellect, so that Scientist had more hits, basically. And I found that that was like plenty of 3-drops already. So this has like even more 3-drops. Spellslinger is a really hard card to evaluate. Like every time I look at it on paper, it looks so good. And then every time I play with it, it feels a lot weaker. Just because they get to like use their spell first, and sometimes that really matters. But, yeah, I don't know. Did you like Spellslinger? Well, obviously you like Spellslinger, but...
Yeah,
it was the track thing, but...
It's alright. Like, on average, it's just decent. And sometimes you just steal free wins. Like, in the Esports Arena tournament, I just, like, play it on 3 and roll Reincarnate, and just, like, kill a Twilight Drake. So, like... I don't know. I like playing cards that have huge upside. And even at worst, it, like, it just gives you something to combo with Flamewaker, and mm-hmm. you can discount it with Sork.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah,
it's definitely not bad. It's more like the curve thing. Yeah. If it had like more stats and cost 4, I'd probably play it.
Well, it's definitely refreshing seeing you know this deck actually make it in, because watching the regionals, whether it was EU and NA, we saw a lot of the same decks from everybody. Not necessarily across the region. There was a little different distribution. I think Monkey could probably confirm that. Mr. Stat Guy here, who always knows all the stats. But for the most part, yeah, it was getting a little bit monotonous seeing the same thing. So, yeah, when you broke out that deck, I think at least you generated a bunch of conversation, which is always great. So leading up to BlizzCon now, like your training and stuff, what's your regimen like? Are you going to continue to come up with, you know, these kind of this decks that are pretty cool with these more inventive type of cards, or you're just kind of waiting to see, given that the changes that were announced yesterday?
Yeah, well, for sure I'll have to figure out something, because the meta's about to change completely with mm-hmm. the upcoming nerf. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I put together a practice group already, and we've already started talking, and okay. I have a meeting tomorrow. Just grind everything out, and there's a lot of stuff to figure out, so I definitely need help, like, discovering the new meta.
Yeah, what is the process? Just getting basically a sample from everybody as to what they're seeing, and just trying to pull in a bunch of stats?
Yeah, the first week is just going to be, like, grinding out ladder, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, congrats, buddy. You know, like, definitely good luck, you know, at the tournament. You know, I do want to mention one thing that with ValueTown is that, you know, we had Tyson before he went, you know, to EU regionals, and he ended up winning EU regionals. We had Purple on a week or two ago, and he ended up winning NA. So we're having you on now, Jeb. So I don't know, maybe that bodes very well for you in a couple weeks, in a few weeks.
You just have to make sure not to play in any tournaments before BlizzCon.
That's right. You can't waste the karma that you built up here. Right. Oh, go ahead.
I wouldn't mind winning something before BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Like, any tournament's fine. I don't have to win BlizzCon necessarily, but obviously
that'd
be the best one. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd just like first place in something, since like hasn't happened yet for me.
You've never won any? Really? You haven't won a tournament? Any community tournament or anything? Or online tournament?
I mean, I've won like open online tournaments, but not like a LAN or anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Let's see. Reynad, one of the things with the championships is, I mean, there was a Reddit thread that was basically talking how, you know, great your casting was. And I wanted to ask you, I mean, I noticed it too. Like, I felt like, I mean, I always enjoy your casting, but I felt like you were on point, you know, this past weekend too. Do you enjoy casting? Like, I mean, how do you take it? Because you're completely different when you're casting, like, than you are, obviously, when you're on your stream and things like that.
I made an effort to sound different. Yeah. I don't know. Most times that I've casted, it's pretty exhausting work, honestly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of downtime to fill. All this stuff outside of the actual games gets to feel very monotonous. Like, when you're casting in the games, it's enjoyable. For, like, high-profile events, I think I do enjoy it more. Like, I liked casting this last weekend. I didn't think I would like it that much, but I liked it more than I thought I would. So, yeah, maybe I'll do it more. It's just, it's hard for me to, like, put that level of energy into, like, most casts. I tried to take the extra step because it was a Blizzard tournament. It's like the first time they wanted to work with me, so I didn't want to fuck
that
it
was,
up.
Oh, really? That was, I guess that was the first time. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah, you can't really, I mean, right, it makes sense. You can't, like, you can't work with, like, people who tell Amsterdam stories and stuff. It's like, but, yeah, right. Like, just the kind of the sad part about this, though, is if you look at it, this has, like, 2,000 upvotes. Mm-hmm. And like Purple winning the tournament, this huge, and like Jab,
I know,
second, right. Second year in a row. Mm-hmm. That's, that just shows like where the priorities of the
community,
I guess. It's like mm-hmm. they don't focus on the tournament results as much, which isn't, it's not like a bad thing. It's just I wish that it, I wish it was like easier to get attention if you're not a streamer.
Yeah.
That scene would have a lot more variety.
And, you know, that's what we're trying to do here, too, you know, in Valuetown, and trying to have the other guys come on. And Jab, obviously, coming on. This is the first time Jab's been on Valuetown, which is great.
Yep.
Really, really cool. But I agree with you, too. It's I kind of wish there was more the attention drawn to you guys, because it's a big moment. You know, it's a big moment for the folks that aren't popular streamers and, you know, this, you know, trying to make a name for themselves. You know, it kind of happened for Firebat to a degree, you know, last year. I mean, he won the whole thing, and... I mean, for me, it's like, why isn't he like one of the biggest streamers, you know, or at least close to that to some extent? And has it kind of tells you that there's more to being a popular streamer than just being a good player. But at the same time, I think we could give some more attention to these guys. Amok, I mean, you've casted plenty of events too. Hard? Yeah. You know, what do you think, casting just generally?
Yeah, it's pretty hard, but I think specifically with Reynad, you could. Like, Reynad mentioned that he put in extra effort to cast this tournament. Mm-hmm. And having watched Reynad's other cast and his Blizzard cast over the weekend, you could definitely tell. So I think it definitely showed Reynad.
Yeah. Definitely good job there, man. Great work. Let's see. Anything else with the champions? I should mention all the other players that made it. So Jab, Purple, Nias, and Hotform all qualified for BlizzCon. Nias obviously being another guy that maybe a lot of folks in the community don't know about. It's really great to see him do well too. He's been a good player for a while. And Hotform, a lot of people have seen his stream. He's been really kind of rising up and doing well in BlizzCon. Is definitely helping with that too. So really props to those guys too. It'll be great to see them at BlizzCon. But that wraps things up for regionals. I think everything is good to go, and it's just a matter of just getting all the players over to BlizzCon, and I think Monk, you were mentioning that the event actually starts before the BlizzCon itself, so the players will be playing most of the matches up until close to the finals pre-event.
Yeah, right? BlizzCon will be, I believe, like October or November 7th and 8th, but the actual event, like the round of 16, will start beforehand, which will be pretty exciting. It'll be pretty much similar to what happened last year, where we got to see some like precursor matches, but unfortunately not everyone will be able to actually perform on the BlizzCon stage.
That's too bad. Like, I was hoping that we'd see a ton of matches on the stage again. The stage was so impressive last year. That's one of the things I missed about not going to Valuetown, is actually getting a chance to see that stage live. But I'm sure it'll be impressive again this year.
Yeah.
And hopefully again, Jab, you'll be there. You'll be there getting a chance to experience that live.
One thing I wanted to mention was Nias's run, like, to get to BlizzCon was pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, he won all the way through Last Chance, lost in round one of the 40-man, and then, like, won through the loser bracket. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I wanted to say, if you look at everyone else... I'm hearing a little bit of reverb from you, Reynad, I think.
Oh, sorry.
If you look at everyone besides Nias in the U and EU and NA regions, it feels like... Like, they're all the players who people have been hyping up. Like, I feel like Purple is kind of like the Osaka of NA, where everyone's saying, like, he's such a great player, like, why hasn't he won something?
Yeah.
And you see now that he indeed has won something now. Just, like, it's just a long time coming, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he was always a big part of the Archon team. It's just a lot of people, I don't think, realized, you know, just his contribution to that team. He didn't perform that well in some of the bigger events recently too. So, yeah, I think that might have had a little bit to do with that too, Monk. You know, because he didn't win, right? He hasn't won an event, right? An LAN event at all.
Yeah. He did well in like PvP Live League, but besides that, like, not really any big major wins.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so anyway, it's a great opportunity for these guys, and again, well, hopefully we'll get a chance to see who comes out the victor out of all of them. Okay, next topic. Let's move on, and it's the big topic that everybody, I'm sure, has been talking about the last 12 hours or so, maybe 24 hours, and that is the nerf to the Warsong Commander. Let me show you the exact announcement from the Blizzard team. And Warsong Commander now reads, your charge minions have +1 attack. So the point of this, obviously, was to nerf the Grim Patron deck that a lot of people have been talking about for months and months now. And this accomplishes that, that's for sure. I don't think there will ever be that type of Grim Patron combo-ish deck, at least the original version of it. But I want to get your thoughts on just the change, the nerf to Grim Patron, I mean, is it good or bad in your opinion? And is this change actually good? Raynette, I'll have you start with it.
They didn't nerf this because of Grim Patron. There's nobody like with more data than Blizzard employees, and that nobody more than Blizzard employees was telling people how bad Patron was. Patron is not that broken. There is like a single-digit number of players in the world that can play it at a broken win rate, but the fact that like rank 15 players are circle jerking about how broken it is on Reddit just like upset me so much. Because none of them could win a game with it, and you know that. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. They didn't do this because they were nerfing because they wanted to nerf Patron. They did it because they can't print cool like low attack minions as long as Warsong is in the game. Like this, right. There's always going to be something. Like Grim Patron's a really cool card. It's really interesting design, and they can't. Like, it stops them from designing cards like that in upcoming expansions as long as this is around. So I think that's why they nerfed it mostly.
Monk, what's your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I have to agree. Like, it's the similar problem to what happened when, I don't know if you guys remember the Molten Giant deck where you could just charge Molten Giants and panda them. They nerfed Warsong Commander back then, but they're coming up with, like, the same problem that they are now. It's kind of similar to why, like, Auctioneer was nerfed. Because they can't print, like Raynette said, they can't print like any cool like low mana spells for Rogue in the future. It just buffs up that card too much. Just like looking at the nerf, I like whether we disagree or agree with the nerf. Like if they indeed wanted to like appeal to like the casual players to prevent people from like posting these kind of like epic shots, or I don't know if epic is the right word, but like all these like OTK moments with Frothing Berserkers. It changes like the entire like BlizzCon format, and I don't think necessarily for like the better. It's kind of like what we saw from the APAC region, where like very few people were playing Patron and everyone was playing tempo decks. I just feel like Patron is like one of those decks that like it's different from all the other decks, whereas like you have Druid, you have like Secret Paladin, you have Tempo Mage, like they all like want to accomplish the same goal, whereas Patron is like the deck that like everyone's kind of secretly wants. It's the deck that takes a lot of skill. Only a few players can play it. And, like, the win conditions are, like, so unique, and they're, like, different versus every single archetype in every single class.
All right. Jeb, your opinion?
I'm a huge fan of the nerf. It's going to mix things up a lot for BlizzCon, which I think is actually a good thing for the viewing experience. And to see how players like can adapt. Like we only have a couple weeks to figure out the meta, and I don't like the way they changed it, however, because they basically just removed the whole deck from the game. I think you could have just like toned down the power level a bit, maybe on just like Emperor or Warsong or whatever, but I don't know what exactly they could tone down. But
yeah, I mean, go ahead, Jim, sorry.
I'm not a huge fan of them just like removing the entire deck from the game. Like, it was even seen less play recently. Like, 2 out of 8 players at the NA regionals brought it.
How'd they do?
I mean, they got first and second.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the specific change. So, you know, I think we kind of got a good read from, you know, I guess what, you know, how you feel about just changing the deck altogether, but this particular change, I totally get what you mean by it limits design capabilities, but I think this change, what they did, basically just removes the card. I mean, is anybody going to play Warsong Commander anymore with this text? Right, can you think of anything? Can you think of any kind of deck that where this would be, heck, better than a raid leader? Is it?
It's not. Well, I don't see it.
Go ahead, Rainier.
I'm sorry. I was just gonna say, man. I think general consensus is they nerfed that ult too hard. I wish they kind of used this as an opportunity to buff like Arena Warriors, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe make it just like a 3-4 with some words. But yeah, a little bit unfortunate. They just kind of remove it from the game.
Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Well, I saw the argument on Reddit was like, if like you might as well play two raid leaders before two war songs. And you might as well play two Direwolf alphas before the two raid leaders. So, like, when you're deck building, like, this would be, like, if you wanted five Direwolf alphas, you would put one of these in your deck. And if you have, like, two Direwolf alphas and two raid leaders in your deck, that's not enough charge minions to actually, like, make a charge deck. So, like, you would pretty much never play Warsong. And it's not even, like, the buzzard treatment where actually used buzzard in the America's Championship to great effect.
Yeah, it won me a game. I drew two cards off Unleash and two off of trading my high main. Yeah. It's pretty sick.
It's not even like where you can just get a buzzard off of Web Spinner and just like win the game from there.
Yeah.
Well, the buzzard nerf was based. I mean, their reasoning for that was it had a lot to do with value too. Like, you know, they were judging how much the card draw value was, and they felt like five mana was the proper place for it. You know, I can understand that a little bit more. This is kind of crazy. I wish they would have just completely redirected the text here, but I'm thinking they might have been limited by the lore of the Warsong Commander. I don't actually know. Like, does it have to be charged? Like, do you guys know the lore well enough to know if they would be forced to do that? It would have been cool to see maybe something that helps, like, a bolster deck or something like that. You know, something that's they could help cultivate instead of just literally removing it.
I think, I don't know too much about the lore, but, like, the Warsong clan's, like, an aggressive clan. They're the clan that Grom Hellscream is from.
Oh, okay, right.
So, like, Grom has charge, I don't know.
Yeah.
To that extent.
Yeah, maybe that's the reason. But, yeah, this card, I don't see them changing it again, because they typically don't do that. But it's definitely clear that when they make a change, it's after, you know, doing a ton of research and, you know, waiting. You know, the original reason for the not changing anything to do with the patron deck was just to see if people could, you know, adapt and figure out, you know, a solution, an organic solution, right? So when they do make a change here, it's obviously for future reasons. And I think you guys touched on it, which was the design. Just being an issue. They could have, you know, one thing they could have done is just, it's kind of similar to what they did with Molten, but just a degree, is just only allow charge for minions that, you know, start with, I mean, like, if they, make it like an aura. So if they ever get higher than three, then they don't have charge anymore. You know,
and all those fixes assume that the reason they're nerfing it is because they think Patron is broken. Blizzard does not think Patron is broken. Like, why would they do that and just have it be broken with the next Grim Patron type card that comes out?
Yeah.
But even with a low drop, is it that bad to have it charged? Can you think of crazy...
The current cards, no, but, like, in the future, it's got to be something that it's stopping.
Okay.
There's, like, no charge card in the game that hasn't seen play. Rocketeer I played in beta.
Yeah, okay. That's true. Yeah, charge is definitely... I wouldn't say problematic, but something that they have to work around. Stealth too. I think both of those things are difficult things to design around. But okay, well, you know, the meta's going to change. What have you guys seen even in the last 24 hours? You guys played the ladder much?
I've actually seen more Patron Warrior because people are trying to play it like before the change.
Oh well, yeah, okay, that makes sense. I guess we won't know until it actually officially comes out. When's the date on it? Did they announce the date that it was?
Sometime next week.
Next week. Next week. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What do you anticipate, at least with the current meta? Like, what decks are going to... Secret Paladin, that kind of thing, or...?
Yeah, both variants of Paladin, for sure. Hmm.
Yeah.
Zoo might come back a bit.
That was the weird thing for me, is Zoo was, like, the deck that was performing the best over the last month and a half, because I felt like Patron always had a hard time against Zoo. At least like the Voidcaller one. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I haven't played the matchup too much.
Yeah.
I was Zoo was winning no matter which side I was playing, so I think it was good for Zoo. But yeah, like whatever beats Paladin, not sure what's best against it.
Yeah. This Face Hunter may come back a bit because its worst matchup is probably Patron.
Yeah. I think what most people are predicting is that like Druid will still be like the number one deck that everyone brings to tournaments.
Yeah.
That'll be fun, obviously. And then we have Paladin, which people are predicting to be like the next best deck to come out because Patron is nerfed. And then everything will center around those two decks. Like you're trying to counter those two decks, whereas maybe the meta before was trying to counter Druid and Patron.
Yeah,
I think Druid was already number one, like even before the nerf. Like just everyone brings it to their conquest lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so solid. I mean, it's pretty hard to direct counter a Druid these days or just have a crazy winning percentage against it. The timing of the change, you know, right before BlizzCon, we saw this kind of thing last year, too, with Leroy, I believe it was nerfed around this time. I know it kind of mixed things up for BlizzCon, which is great for, you know, just viewers and fans and everything. But for players and in fairness, what do you guys think about that? I mean, do you think this is a good, I mean, it's a good move to do this, given that the players have gotten to where they've gotten with, you know, just the old meta. Ray, what's your thoughts? Oh, can't hear you, buddy.
Sorry about that. My thoughts about whether this change is actually like
just good. The timing of the, I mean, change. You know, just changing right before like the big event, and
I'm always a fan of that. Like honestly, most of the time, the players that perform best in tournaments are the ones that happen to be playing like 12 hours a day for the couple weeks leading up to it, because then they get like a perfect view of that meta within that time frame, and then I like when people are forced to change it up. I guess it'll create more variety. There were a lot of changes, for example, I think before the last BlizzCon top 16, if I remember right. I don't remember what changed, but stuff, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was, I think it was Leroy, right? Leroy was the big one.
It was the Leroy nerf, and funnily enough, Firebat still brought Miracle Rogue and won.
Yeah. It wasn't just Leroy, though. Wasn't it like Soulfire 2 or something like that?
Oh, that's right. Soulfire became one. Yeah, one mana. That's right.
Yeah, so yeah, that was like interesting because there was a ton of variety in that tournament. Like, because we had to play the week after that patch went live, or sorry, the day after that patch went live. There were 2 days that patch was live online, and I was flying during all of it. And the Europeans got to play. I remember I was mad about that, but anyway, that really made a lot of variety. Happened like all the decks were really different. Mr. Yagi was playing multi-shot or something, and
that's right.
Saw like some really weird miracle decks. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, double brawl. Yeah, I kind of remember like the multi-shot. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that. Monk, what do you think
about
just the changes? Yeah, changing at last minute, and
obviously, like we saw on Twitter yesterday, some of the Europeans especially were mad because
yeah.
Like, they're the players known for playing Patron, Oskaka especially, but also, of course, there's Life Coach. Nairia is also one of the big Patron players, and Tice has been, like, really learning it up lately. So one of the jokes is basically that NA got buffed, and as we can see in other esports games, like, the NA always needs the help, right?
Ouch! Monk, man, that's shots fired there. Jeb, what do you think?
I actually wish they made balance changes more often, because I feel like that's one of the main advantages of having an online card game over a physical card game.
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
just forcing players to innovate. Like, probably 80% of the skill in Hearthstone is just like deck building and card choice and stuff. So, yeah, forcing players to adapt and innovate is gonna pull out the more skilled deck builders and players more often than not.
All right. Yeah, it's tough though because they can't make changes like every weekend. So as soon as one guy innovates and makes that good deck, then it's like everyone just gets to play it. So right.
Yeah.
I guess so.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, again, it'll be great to see what, you know, what kind of changes we see in the next week or so. And just, you know, again, people trying to figure out just some cool ways to evolve the meta here. Yeah. All right, let's move on to it's our Tavern Brawl segment. Tavern Brawl always starts, like, literally when the show is. So I figured we would – I'm assuming that none of you guys have seen the Tavern Brawl yet, except for maybe Monk. So why don't we just take a quick look at it real quick. Just kind of a fun thing. Given the timing of the show, I think it just would maybe make sense to take a look. I heard it's crazy, though, this week.
Yeah, we saw Ekahop was like tweeting some pictures. We saw like turn one mysterious challenger.
Oh my god,
that's pretty good.
What? Okay.
Let's what are the this. Rules?
I don't know. That's what we're gonna see right here. You guys can observe, right? Let's see.
No.
You mean in game?
Oh, in game, right? Okay. Oh, I guess if we started. I don't know if maybe we shouldn't play a game.
Oh, let's play one. Sure.
You wanna play one? Okay. Yeah. Hey, add me real quick. It's champion B1999.
I can't spectate on this laptop.
Oh, you can't? Oh, darn. Okay.
I can watch the stream. Though.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, so this Tavern Brawl is Randomonium. An encounter at the crossroads under a mana storm. Choose a class. Get random cards. Each turn, your cards cost are randomized. Randomized cost cards. Okay.
Interesting.
Should be. All right. What class are we playing, guys?
I'm trying to think. What is the most expensive?
Yeah, things? That's probably a good thing to start. Let's see, mage has some expensive legends.
Probably priest, right?
Priest. Yeah, priest.
Yeah, priest. Priest has some. All right. Let's go, priest. All right. Starting this up. Let me add you guys. Where are you guys?
Actually, warlock.
Oh, actually, you guys are already at. You already guys have me. Yeah, warlock.
Because you just get a tap into more terrible cards, so it's like.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And there's Jiraxxus and.
This is just the most RNG type of ball.
Anduin. Oh, priest versus priest. Here we go. Shall bring victory. Oh, the light shall burn you. Wait, I thought it was randomized.
Yeah, but you're okay. Mind control. It's like a random.
What?
Value? It's a random cost. Maybe you don't get to see the actual cost until you mulligan it.
Oh, this is a big deal, man. Like,
yeah, keep the mind control.
Keep the mind control.
It can only get cheaper.
So we thought this is like a very RNG brawl, but it's like even more RNG.
I know, it's even more like, whoa, what's going on, Arrow? We'll keep the mind control and see what happens here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you only want expensive cards, right?
What? Does it change right when it goes in your... Oh, seven, okay. Oh, Confessor Veiltrith. Oh my god, Faceless.
Greetings. Is that even good, though? Because we have to like wait till turn four to play it, almost.
If we had the coin, it'd be amazing. Oh my god, we had the coin. It'd be sick.
Yeah, I'm actually like not too big of a fan of these kind of tavern brawls. I think Raynett last week mentioned like his favorite, which is also my favorite tavern brawl, was the bananas one. Oh my god,
yeah, it was really hard to play. Wait, it changes every turn.
It changes every turn.
Wait, heal yourself in case you have Frost Giant.
Yeah, it's actually a misplay these days. Not
wait, wait. So everything else went back to its original cost.
No, I think they're just switching around. It's like being randomized.
Okay, that's kind of.
Or it's like a. From what I see, it's like a 50% chance for it to like be a random cost.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's really
a random chance of.
How many fingers do you see?
Random search.
Oh, here we go. All right.
Ooh.
Wait.
Ooh. This gets hard. You can make two Hemets. I think you're supposed to copy Holy Champion. You could. Yeah, I think you should get Faceless out of your hand, right? Like,
yeah.
While you can.
I must consider.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Copy and Hemet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright.
Yeah, I guess you just want to play, like, the cards that are discounted for that turn.
So that's two times now Mind Control's only made it to seven.
It'll be one eventually.
Yeah, exactly. When their confessor comes down, or when their whatever legend, giant legend, Valen comes down.
You might actually have to like pay attention to the, like what your opponent mulligan for. Hmm. If it's like priest versus priest, like they'll probably keep the mind controls.
Assuming they have them, right?
I've noticed, like, I think this is similar to like when you randomize your entire deck, and you get a higher chance of getting the class cards.
Oh, I see. Why would he copy Hammett?
And also, we have no idea, like, if it copies the cost at all. Probably not.
Ooh, Shadow Form.
Shadow Form is pretty good.
That sounds pretty good. Shadow Form Cultist, what do you guys think?
Yeah. I think even it, like with what we know now, it might have been a good idea to keep Shadow Form in the opening hand.
Yeah. I mean, Shadow Form can be 10 mana too, right?
Yeah, but like it keeps switching, so there's a good chance that you'll get like a 1 mana Shadow Form.
All right.
And Shadow Form, if it like costs 1 mana, it's pretty good.
All right, so we'll go Shadow Form, Dark Cultist. Cool?
I wonder.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We agree. The damned stand ready. Does this hurt?
So my control's alternated between 7 and 10 now.
But the Peltress has changed costs.
Yeah.
This is like probably the most tryhard anyone has tryharded in this Tavern Brawl.
Of course. Well, you're here, man. Of course we're going to try hard. Monks of the tryhard. Alright.
Tryhard in the most casual Tavern Brawl.
Exactly, right.
Alright, we're going Confessor.
Alright, we can do Confessor now. Alright, so we get...
Let's get you, Sarah.
Oh, that doesn't sound good. Oh, no! My fate is Blingtron.
Yeah, we'll take it, we'll take it.
Oh, man, we gotta live a turn, man. Oh, we can't hear you, Ray.
Are there any legendaries of drawback?
Drawback? What do you mean?
Lorewalker Cho, kind of.
Oh, they're bad ones. Yeah. Yeah, Lorewalker Cho is not a good one, for sure. Any others?
Major Domo Executus.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Acid Maw is terrible, too.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. I've gotten that off of Professor before.
Yeah, the Smite.
Acid Maw's won me a lot of games, actually.
Oh,
get it. That's actually like a... That's one with a drawback.
I mean, it's not too bad.
Oh, 1 mana mind control.
I don't think we should do that, though.
I don't know if we want that, yeah.
Yeah, you should should kill her. You should play, like, Nullifier, I guess. Well, you might get Cabal'd. Maybe it's better to buff the other cultists. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
I think there's a good chance he's got Cabal.
Yeah.
Let's just go cultist. Yeah. Jab, you cool with that?
Yeah, sure.
Alright, here we go. Yeah, there's gotta be a good shot. There's a Cabal in one of these decks. Hurricane Nullifier. Pretty lucky. He's pretty lucky to get a Baron out of the non-class cards.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, like, bad to mind control first.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what Monk was saying, right?
You shall not.
Oh, that's not a good one. That makes up for the bear.
What are the odds of him getting a mind control? We're not too high.
Alright, what do you guys think?
It's hard. I might Shadow Madness the Shield Bearer. It's not pretty, but...
And remove the Holy Champion?
Yeah, because otherwise, like, you're playing a Trog. You're just going to feed him minions otherwise.
Yeah, I think
so. We're still playing around the Shadow Priest.
All right, so Shadow Madness?
Pretty bad.
Everybody good?
That's really bad.
My fate is sealed. Did we play Trog or no?
Yeah.
Okay, making sure.
It's too bad we drew it, though.
Yeah. true.
But he had some bad cards too.
Whelps, the dragon egg is okay. But yeah, the bear is terrible.
I like how this game came down to Palishers too, which is not exactly the most kill-intensive card.
Mm-hmm.
But
it still dies in a single turn, even if we play it on turn 4. Or turn 5, or whenever we played it. Oh, God.
There you go. Now you kill Shield Bear.
Again, I forget Golden Sabbath. That's for Cycle Advance. Oh, okay, 6 or more cards.
Yeah, steal it.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Steal it before Dispel.
Steal the
Shield Bearer.
Yeah, steal the Shield Bearer. Mind control that.
Alright, steal Valen. Okay, we go.
And then play Dispel. Let's see what you get.
There we go. Oof.
That's fine. Null Fire Hero Power, I think. Or maybe Blood Mage is better, actually. Because then you get to play 2 cards next turn.
Alright, just go face, or should I clear the board a little bit?
I would Hero Power the 2/4.
Alright.
No, just go face.
Yeah, there's nothing that can really buff these guys, right, Priest?
Well, it's random decks.
Yeah, well, I guess it could be, Defender. It could be some Argus and...
Abusive.
Fine!
Tournament
medic. Oh, you both have Hemet.
No, he copied. He took a... Didn't he
copy? No, he mind visioned our Hemet.
Or converted or whatever it was.
So lucky.
Oh, look at that!
Oh, man. it doesn't actually do much here.
Yeah, just trade in the Blood Mage into the 1/8, I think. I'm getting wrong about that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Alright, just do it.
Yep.
See what happens.
My fate is
sealed. Remove this guy, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's lucky. He didn't draw mind control, he did.
Yeah, exactly. He got that extra legend, though. Alright, looks like we're gonna get our first win, then. The Holy Champions were pretty good, though.
Yeah,
it's... this was a pretty slow game, probably because it was Priest versus
Priest.
Yeah,
Priest versus Priest was probably...
I think, in general, these games go much faster, because, like, you do have the potential to get just, like, huge blowout kills in, like, the first few times.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, alright, well, that's the Tavern Brawl for this week. Kind of fun, kind of crazy fun. But give it a try, guys, and I guess there'll probably be lots of crazy screenshots, like Ecop's screenshot that we saw. But that's Tavern Brawl for you, that's for sure. Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, we'll talk some cards, maybe a deck or two, and then we'll start that Tink Your Deck segment in just a sec. So hang tight. Oh, reminder, we have a Patreon just to support the show, so check that out, patreon.com/valuetown. Big thanks to all the patrons so far, which we'll see in just a second, and really appreciate that, and helps the show continue to go on for hopefully years to come. All right, be right back. Alright guys, we're back from break, and now we're going to discuss some of our cards. Going to go into our Golden Good and Gimmick segment that we do each and every week. And I got about 6 cards here I think we're going to discuss. Have you guys, again, kind of classify these cards as Golden, which is good, which is something that's going to be around for a long time. Good, something kind of in the middle, and maybe good in the future, but definitely not a bad card. And then Gimmick, something that's just bad or maybe faddish, something that's probably going to die out in the meta sometime soon. All right, first card we're going to talk about is Refreshment Vendor, which is a card that we saw this past weekend. I think Nias was playing it in the Handlock, and I know some people were talking a lot about Refreshment Vendor when it first came out, too. Reynad, what do you think of this card?
It was like my number 3 card in the set.
Yeah, I remember that.
It looked so good to me when I saw it, and the reality is every deck ended up having this like really strong linear plan, and if you're aggressive, you're going to want like Shredder. If you're Warlock, you're going to want Voidcaller, Drake, Mountain Giant. If you're like Priest, you're going to want Holy Champion. There's just like all these better 4-drops for all these decks. And if you're Warrior, you have like way too many playable cards, so there's no room for a 4-drop. So it's just, I don't know. Unfortunately, the other like 4-drops made him not as playable as a body as I expected. And the decks that just really want a healing effect, they'd rather have Healbot, because if you only need your card to heal, that's going to be better. But this card is still so strong. Like, this would see play in almost any meta. You know, if there was like one set missing, it would be so good.
Yeah, again, for the folks that are just listening to the audio, make sure I want to describe the body. It's a 4-drop, 3/5 body, and this is Refreshment Vendor. Battle Cry, restore 4 health to each hero. Monk, thoughts on this?
We saw, like you mentioned, we saw Nyas played in Handlock over the weekend, and I think like it hasn't really caught on, and I don't think it'll catch on, because it's similar to Siphon Soul in Handlock, where Life Coach actually mentioned that you actually want to kill minions as Handlock, and you want to restore health, but you don't necessarily want to do both at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just play it as a 4-drop in, like, a control matchup, you restore your own health, and you just, like, deactivate your Molten Giants. So it kind of goes against the plan, right?
Yeah.
So it might be one of those cards that, like, if Handlock had fewer cards, you would play it, or just any other deck, like Reynad mentioned, but because we have like so many other good cards, it just doesn't see that kind of play. Like if this was in the very first set of Hearthstone and someone was playing Handlock, I could definitely see this card being added to it.
Okay, so probably two goods, I would say, from both of you guys.
And, yeah.
Okay, Jab, what do you think of this card?
Yeah, I don't really see a fit for it in current decks. Like even control decks these days, like want to be somewhat aggressive, like. You just play a Mountain Giant on 4 and hit their face. Like, you do care somewhat about your opponent's life total, even if you're a really slow deck. I think the only deck it's, like, decent in right now is Handlock, and even then, I'm not sure Nyas's list was even the best.
Okay. Alright, so it sounds like, again, probably a... it sounds more like a gimmick from you, Jab. Would you say gimmick or good there?
Let's say good.
Okay, good. All right, so a solid good for Refreshment Vendor. Next card we're going to take a look at, Seal of Champion. This is a Paladin deck, or Paladin card. 3-mana drop, give a minion +3 attack and Divine Shield. So we see this with a lot of aggro pallies, but what do you generally think about this card, Monk?
I think people were expecting this to be played over like Blessing of Kings on 4, but it turns out just Blessing of Kings is more damage, and before, like, Paladin was really clogged at the 4 spot, but it feels like these days you have, like, Aldor, you have Muster for Battle, and you have, like, your variety of secrets at the 3 spot, and you might not have, like, the, like, just the space for this, and you'd rather just play Blessing of Kings. Like, people in Aggro Paladin, they're cutting True Silver, they're cutting Consecration, and instead, Blessing of Kings has just been so good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jab?
Yeah, I think it's just worse than Blessing of Kings the majority of the time. Like, you're going to use it on a low drop, which probably has pretty low health. Like, it's not hard to deal with a minion that has this on it.
Probably one-time shot type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Ray?
Yeah, it's not great with mini-bot, which is usually, like, half of your 2-drops, right? Because he already has the shield. And it's not great with Juggler, because Juggler dies every time. And so it's really only, like, Haunted Creeper that you can buff with this. So it's just really unlikely that it's a good on-curve play. I think that's really what's holding it back. But, yeah, it's not the worst card. I feel like there's probably some metagame where this kind of effect would be pretty strong eventually.
Okay.
We'll see.
It kind of reminds me a bit of Coghammer, not only in its effect, but also that it's, like, a card that it's almost good, where it's almost an auto-include. So I think, like, in some format like Challenge Stone, it would definitely see a lot of play.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so somewhere in the good gimmick range, probably closer to good.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is a Warlock card. This is one of the new Warlock legendaries, or the new Warlock Legendary. Wilfred Thizzlebang, 6 mana drop, 4/4 body. Cards you draw from your hero power cost 0 mana. Jab.
So when I first saw this deck, when I first saw this card, I thought of like combo decks, like with Leroy Faceless and stuff, like trying to get value from it.
Oh wow!
But yeah, the stat line is just really low. Like, you don't really want to be paying 8 to reduce one card. You can just like play Emperor and reduce, like, have a similar effect.
Okay, yeah. Ray.
Yeah, it's a cool card. One of the first decks I built with TGT was actually with this guy, and it was like, you know, Fencing Coach, Wilfred, Coda Rider, Warlock.
Right.
It wasn't great. I don't know. Thizzlebang is... Yeah, it just needs more stats, I think. 4 health, just too easy to kill. If it was a 4-5 even, that would help a lot, but it's just a little bit too weak, and other options like Emperor are just legitimately broken cards, so...
All right, Monk?
I think when this card was first released, people, like, everyone was thinking, hey, maybe you should, like, play this in Handlock. But the problem with Handlock, especially these days, is with the Demon variety, like, you don't even cut your Sludge Belchers. So the game plan is, like, you just play something really strong every single turn past turn 4. And with Thizzlebang, there's, like, a very big possibility that you just don't get that. Like, you play it on 6, and it's really weak. It's not really a 6 drop. You play it on 8. And if you don't get like something great from your hero power on 8, it's also just like not a very good card. Mm-hmm. And you like lose a lot of tempo there.
All right. I think that falls in the same kind of bucket. A lot of these cards falling in the same kind of good gimmick bucket here, somewhere in between there. Next up is a Shaman card, Charged Hammer, 4 mana, 2 damage, 4 durability, Death Rattle, your hero power becomes deal 2 damage. So kind of interesting card that, you know, it's, anything that changes your hero power, I think is pretty cool. Ray, why don't you start this one?
Charged Hammer is a really hard card to evaluate. I don't know, you can't like, spend your turn 4 to have a 2 damage effect on the board, I feel like. That's, like, the biggest issue. It's unlikely to kill stuff at that stage, and... What this card is good at doing is like getting sustained damage over a longer game, but then like the decks that want damage, they'd rather play something like Doomhammer that gets more of it, whereas like Charged Hammer, to get full value out of it, it just takes a lot of time. Maybe you can play it in a deck with just a million weapons, and then you can like play it, blow it up with a different weapon the next turn. I don't know, but yeah, even then, like, the hero power is not that broken. A 2 damage hero power is good on like turn 2, but later in the game it's not that good. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's still undervalued, right? I mean, mana wise, like 2 mana for 2 damage isn't great, right?
So. You'd expect 3 damage from a card. So yeah. I would say gimmick. It's just like a little bit too slow to get going.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Monk.
It's kind of like Shadow Form, except it's like it costs a little more, I think, and It gives you like an initial burst of 2 damage. I think it's close to gimmick, but I'm gonna say good because like with a bunch of other cards, like not just one additional card that's released in a set, but like maybe 3 or 4 additional cards, where like you could actually make an archetype around like Control Shaman, it might work out. And we have seen this card being used in some Control Shaman lists, although obviously those lists aren't that great.
All right, Jeb.
I don't really see this card being played ever. Like, even in a Control Shaman, like, 2 damage... say we're playing a Control matchup and we're just trying to outvalue our opponent, like, even then, the 2 damage hero power isn't doing much there. So I don't really see much implication. Like, it's just way too slow against aggro. And can't be put to much use in Control moves. I don't know.
Alright, probably three gimmicks there. Too bad. It'd be cool to see that. It'd be cool to see a weapon be a little bit more prominent in Shaman. Alright, next up, Warlock card, Fist of Jiraxxus. 4 mana drop. It's a rare card. When you play or discard this, deal 4 damage to a random enemy. Monk, start off here.
I think it's okay. I'm going to say good. We saw like players like Just Say and Eloise use this card, although obviously it's not being used these days. It's very useful in, again, this is one of those cards that it might be useful in some kind of like Challenge Stone event, or it's pretty good in some Tavern Brawls. Like last week we had the Mana Curving Brawl, and what you could do, I saw some decks, what they tried to do was they tried to play all the cards that discarded cards from your hand, and they just tried to mulligan for the Fist of Drew Axis. And obviously it wasn't very consistent, but it was a fun idea.
Right. Okay. Jab?
Yeah, this card already sees play. Like, it requires a really aggressive build of Zoo, because at the point that you're playing this card, you're not really fighting for board anymore. You're just playing chase. I think it might need a little bit more support, though. Like, another Doomguard-esque card might push it over the top.
Doomguard, you mean just discarding type of card?
Yeah, right, yeah. Discard effects.
Okay. With a charge? That'd be pretty sick. Raynan?
I think this card's golden. I think it's actually broken. Any like zero mana card with a strong effect will be broken at some point. And right now it's already made the best variant of Zoo. So I think going forward this card only gets stronger and stronger. And I think it's really good.
All right. So I think we got our first golden good card here of the day. That's great. Master Jouster is the next card. It's a 6-mana drop. Rare card. It's 5/6 body. Battle cry. Reveal a minion in each deck. If yours costs more, gain taunt and divine shield. Jab. What's your thoughts on this?
It's just way too unreliable. Like, when it misses, you're just losing the game.
Okay, it's kind of comparable to Sunwalker, right? At that same spot, except for the randomness to it.
Yeah, on Sunwalker, at least you know what you're getting. Like,
yeah.
The upside isn't high enough, I guess, for winning the joust on this card.
Okay. Ray?
Yeah, I'd say gimmick. The other 6 drops are just way too good. It's mostly what it comes down to. Emperor is broken. Solanas is really good. And how many 6s do you really want? So.
Right. Okay, so 2 gimmicks. Monk, what do you think?
Yeah, this is one of the cards that I overrated when the TGT first came out. I thought it would be closer to, like, it wouldn't be golden, but maybe like a 4 out of 5. I don't know, maybe Chaman, you need to adjust that scale a bit so you can actually, like, rate
give,
somewhere
give
in between.
Numbers? Okay, all right.
Yeah, but it just turns out, like, Joust is such an unreliable mechanic. Like, I don't even think Tuskar Jouster is that good, to be honest. That's probably like one of the Joust cards that everyone uses, so I'm going to say Gipik as well.
Okay, but you're actually saying a blanket statement with like Jousting is just generally not good? Like, do you any Jousting cards?
King's Alec is good.
King's Alec
is good. Okay. All right, well, I think that's going to be it. So this one's definitely a gimmick. So our only golden card today was Fist of Draxus. Good deal. All right, now we're going to move into some deck talk. I think we only have one since we talked about Jab's tempo deck earlier. It's another mage deck. And before we do that, just want to remind you guys we're going to do some Q&A at the end of the show, as like we always do. Post your questions here, and we'll try to get to them. It's always great to have a variety of questions so I can choose from a bunch. Okay, so this control mage apparently hit number 1 this week, and it's from Mintzu. Wasn't too good about crediting some of the decks last week, so I kind of apologize for that. I'm going to start being a lot better about that. But Mintzu, number 1 in EU with this deck, Control Mage. I was trying this out like last night and having a hard time playing this deck, so I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on this, and you think it's any good? Like, getting to number 1 on Legend in EU.
Why is Unstable Portal in this deck?
Okay, that's all right. First question.
I like the other 28 cards.
Mm-hmm. I'm really skeptical, like, if this guy actually hit number 1 with this list because of that Hunter list a while ago with Gormok. Like,
right.
So, yeah, like, is this from a good player or?
Oh no, it's from Hearthbone. I just pulled something from Hearthbone. So, to your point, I guess maybe it could have been doctored. I don't know, but so you don't think this is powerful enough deck to get to number 1?
Not as good. I've seen similar decks do it.
Yeah. Like, Era played a similar control mage a while back. He did really well with...
Okay, so Unstable Portal. Talk about that, Ray. Like, are you questioning Unstable Portal?
Yeah, that's a card for like tempo decks, and with a control deck, you're trying to draw like the right answers at the right time. You need all of your cards to do specific things, mm-hmm. mostly involving keeping you alive, and that Unstable Portal is just going to be like a dead card so often. I feel like something like Explosive Sheep would be better for this deck. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or Blizzard, something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's really the only problem with the deck, I would say. The other cards make a lot of sense. So yeah.
Okay. Jab, yeah, Explosive Sheep and Doomsayer seem to be quite good in some control builds these days. Monk, yeah. What do you think?
I think this deck is really weak to aggro. Most of these similar decks, they have Molten Giants in them to like help with that matchup, and they have Explosive Sheeps. And then it becomes like pretty favorable matchup or somewhat favorable matchup. But if you just like cut all of these cards, and basically what you're left with is like all the control cards that help you win control matchups. I mean, it's possible that this guy at a high rank of Legend, he wasn't facing Secret Paladins or like Zoo or something, yeah. But like, I mean, he was facing like all patrons, which I could see this deck doing okay against, or all like control warriors.
Mm, yeah, just draw your Frost Nova Doomsayer every time and you can be
aggro. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, that was pretty much what I was running into, just losing to secrets and aggro decks all day. Okay, let's bring some of the viewer decks into play here, and we're going to start this new segment called Tink Your Deck, which is, the whole point of it is really you guys send us in some decks, and we help you guys try to improve them. First deck that we have is an Astral Communion deck from Sam Chapman here, and it's obviously a Druid deck. I haven't built one myself, Astral Communion, but have you guys had any experience having some fun building that Astral Communion deck?
I've never tried it, and I don't think I ever will.
How about you, Ray? I know you've got to try it one time, right?
Yeah, I played like maybe 4 games with it. I lost to it once on ladder. That was a good time. I was playing Control Warrior, and a guy queued into me with like Wild Growth, double Astral Communion, and like 26 9 drops. Like, he was playing Sea Krakens and stuff. Because wow. He knew like that would still beat Control. I was playing Fatigue Warrior. That's what I was doing.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like, how does that beat, you know, that many 9 drops? You don't.
Right.
So he drew an Astral Communion, and I got farmed. But yeah, I don't. I'd have to play it, man. It seems inconsistent, right?
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, these decks aren't supposed to necessarily be top Legend kind of decks, but anything you can see just right off the top that you would suggest him adding, maybe more top level card, you know, just high level card and just going all in, or maybe something to help transition.
I'm a fan of Nourish because it's good when you don't draw the Communion. It's kind of like a 5 mana Communion.
Yeah.
And then after you Communion, it can draw you into business. So it's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really see what combo is doing in this list either. It doesn't mm-hmm. seem like it fits.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first thing I cut too.
Yeah, I played a lot of Astral Communion Druid in the last Tavern Brawl, and what I found out is like you could like draw into everything perfectly on curve, but what I still found out is that like even though I was playing like a 10 drop or a 9 drop on turn 5, I still wasn't like winning the game because they would just out tempo me. Like I would need to draw the correct 5 drop or the correct like 9 or 10 drop on turn 5, like a taunt or something. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't, I would just lose the game right there.
It's maybe more defensive big guys. I think Deathwing is really good.
Yeah.
Deathwing would be good. Taunt guys, like, that'd be nice. Yeah, you're basically top decking the rest of the way, right? Like,
yeah. I think I actually think Sea Kraken would be really good here because it's a card that helps you get back on the board.
Okay.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And probably. Meanwhile, like Ysera might not be the best because you can't actually play like the anything you get out of it unless it's like Ysera Awakens. Like you can't play like an Emerald Drake that easily because you'll probably draw into like a really high curving card anyway.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. Okay, well, thanks, Sam, for sending in this deck. Hopefully some of the suggestions will help you out. Next up, we got Remulov Falric. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. It's a Dragon Warlock. And I know we've all built a bunch of Dragon Warlocks, so Okay, yeah. So take a look at this one, guys. Anything jump out at you here? It's a little bit of everything in this one. The normal kind of, you know, dragon base, where you have Twilight Drakes and Chill Malls and...
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Some Corruptors.
There's some cards that shouldn't be in there, for sure.
And then the Nefarious in there. Okay, just... let's name some off.
Twisting Nether.
Yeah. Don't really see the synergy with Demon Wrath either.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird. That could just be another Hellfire at Shadowflame or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Volcanic Drake is pretty weak. That's really only going to be good with, like, if all of your... Like, okay, when you play Implosion, they're going to kill your imps most of the time. They're not going to let you trade into stuff. Mm-hmm. So when you do trade into stuff, you're, like, pretty ahead anyway, and that's the only scenario where Volcanic Drake would come down. But maybe that Implosion synergy is enough. I don't know. I'm skeptical.
There's synergy with that in Twisting Nether, Hellfire, and Demon Wrath. But it seems a little inconsistent. and also, like, synergy with Chill Mall, I guess.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of Blood Mage either in any of my Warlock decks. Like, the synergy that it had with Implosion, Coil, Dark Bomb, it wasn't really worth, like, putting that card in my deck ever.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend taking that out and just play more, like, defensive cards like Sludge Belcher and add some late game. Just have a little bit more. Dr. Boom is really good if you have him.
Okay.
Yeah, when I played this deck like a month ago, I won like the control matchups every time. I feel like it just needs a lot of help against aggro. Like Secret Paladin matchup is really rough.
Demon Wrath helps, I guess.
Yeah, Demon Rat's actually quite good.
That has some merit.
Yeah.
I think you need at least one owl in there somewhere.
Probably.
There's just like a lot of science targets.
Big Game Hunter, probably.
Yeah, Big Game Hunter.
Okay. What about Chromagus, you think?
He's fine.
It's kind of small on my screen here.
Yeah, it's alright for what he's trying to do.
Yeah, you can play it turn 10 and tap. It's a solid card.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so drop Twisting Nether, Volcanic Drake, and Blood Mage, and then Zombie Child's are good, right?
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, and then just add some more defensive cards. Some more board clearing cards, or more taunt cards, like a Belcher. That'd be good. Siphon Soul good in this?
It's fine. You probably want Big Game Hunter.
Yeah.
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 You either want to add a Big Game Hunter or just replace that with Big Game Hunter.
All right, good deal. All right, thanks for sending that in, Remilov. And our last one we have is from Surf Wonder. It's a Control Shaman. Control Shaman. Okay, this one's interesting. It's got some Molten Giants in it.
Does it have a Charged Hammer?
it does, right?
There's some synergy between Charged Hammer and Molten Giants.
Oh, man, I like this.
There is? what is that?
I like Molten Giant. Okay. So we're going to be taking 30 damage every game.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean. All right. Well, okay, so given that it's a control shaman, so she's still trying to keep to its theme and not like completely changing, you know, what they're doing here. What are some things to add or take away here? I think Charged Hammer we discussed earlier probably isn't the best thing to have. Two Kodo Riders? Wow.
Yeah, I actually like the deck and I like where it's going. Like you mentioned, Chanman, like the Kodo Riders, they don't really fit that well.
It almost looks like this Reincarnate kind of deck that I play, but it's different, obviously, endgame than this.
Yeah
like the Kodo Riders. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, the Kodo Riders, like, when you're thinking about other control decks, they don't run Kodo Riders. And they have the option to run Coder Riders. So if you're like this control shaman and you're running Coder Riders, doesn't it just mean that, like, there's no real synergy between Coder Riders and because you don't have like Flame Tongues or anything. Mm-hmm. But if you run these Coder Riders, doesn't it mean like you might as well be playing a different control deck?
I think something like Emperor Thorsten is just probably going to be higher power level.
Yeah.
But I also kind of like the direction his deck is going. Like, I really like Doomsayer in this list, actually, and I wonder if playing two is even better. But you want to make sure that once you slow the game down, you are winning. So right now, there's not much that this deck does against other control decks, actually. So yeah. I wonder if something like Nepchalon would be good. Because, you know, Nepchalon is really good in control matchups.
Yeah, so, I feel like just getting outvalued like in a control mirror with this deck, like half your cards are dead, like Healing Waves do nothing, trying to like Deathlords don't do much, I don't know.
I mean, what's the win condition for this deck? That's...
Well,
you know, it's like put the Molens down and just Coda Riders.
That's, you basically hit the nail on the head. Coda Riders and Molten Giants.
Yeah.
The Molten Giants are easy to play around for a control deck.
Yeah.
Not that they would expect it, but... Yeah, I would play Nepchalon, basically, for sure. And I do think you need just more win conditions.
Okay,
it's not bad, though.
Any other win conditions you can think of throwing in there? Like maybe, I don't know, any kind of higher power?
Maybe Azurdrake. He's playing like literally every thing you want to spell power.
Yeah, he does. He has Lightning Bolts and Crackles.
Maybe even Blood Mage would be fine. Not great, but it would be fine. It would give you really good turn 5 Lightning Storms, which is pretty important in Shaman. So, yeah.
All right, Jab. I mean, I've seen you play all kinds of Shamans, so... any kind of cool endgame you'd add to this?
It's hard to say. Like, even... Like, I prefer the Malagos route for the Control Shaman, actually. Just gives you more ways to win the game. Mm-hmm. Not sure if it would fit in this particular list, but... It gets good when you're running so many spells.
With the Molten Giants, does he need a taunt? Does he need, like, Defender or anything like that? Or Sun Fury?
Defender could be good. Makes your totems actually matter.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of the hard things about a Shaman deck, is that sometimes you want to build it like your hero power doesn't matter, but you have to have some way to use your 0/2s. Because the games you're going to win, you're going to have a lot of them.
Yeah, the hero power feels pretty useless in this list, unless you get your charge chamber.
So Defender is pretty important. Maybe over Deathlord.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. All right, well, hopefully, you know, again, those suggestions surf wonder, help you out and help you kind of develop the Shaman deck a little bit more. Control Shaman, it'd be nice to see some Control Shaman again. The Malagus one's cool, but it'd be nice to see some more different variety of Shaman. Yeah. I love how I was seeing just the meta snapshot. It's just like Tier 4 is the Shaman basement, basically.
Yep. At least they're in that tier, man.
What? Okay, I guess there are a lot of decks that aren't even in the snapshot. So.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to wrap up that new segment. Thanks for sending in the decks, guys, and... you know, for those of you that want, you know, to be part of this segment, definitely send your decks in. I'm going to give priority to the patrons, so any folks, obviously, that are patrons too, go ahead and message me snapshots of your deck, you know, via, like, the Patreon site. Everybody else, you can email them to me at chris@chainmanv.tv, and we'll try to pick, you know, just different decks that look interesting for us to take a look at. We're going to go into Q&A now. And see what kind of questions we have here. I haven't gotten a chance to look at them quite yet, but I got a chance to look at one or two of them beforehand. Okay, Sean Holly asks, this question is for everyone. Blizzard has been improving the WCS system over the last few years with StarCraft II, and now that the second BlizzCon World Championships are coming up next month, what can Blizzard do to revamp the current Hearthstone competitive scene or system to ensure a more balanced and even playing field for the next year's championship series? Who wants to take this?
I think it's really hard to come up with a perfect format that everyone's happy with. Like, no matter what they do, there's going to be people complaining. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to be the one to try and figure it out.
Yeah.
That's definitely a safe answer.
It's also a lot different between Hearthstone and StarCraft, because whenever people gave suggestions for the StarCraft WCS, I think the majority, like, there were suggestions that the majority of the community could get on board with, whereas with even the current system of Hearthstone, pretty much with, like, 50% invites, 50% qualifiers, no one is happy, because if the tournament organizers are forced to have non-invited players, and then everyone else at the same time is complaining that there's not enough opportunities for non-invited players to get their face on the scene, which both are actually very valid complaints, and everyone is having to compromise in this scenario.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about like the BlizzCon World Championships, I mean, that is like the fair system, right? I mean, it's open. It's completely open to the... There's no invites to the World Championships, right? I mean, there are to the tournaments that give points, I guess. I guess that's valid, but the whole ladder system and last chance and that sort of thing, I mean, that's open, right?
Yeah, it felt pretty fair to me, but yeah, the invited players do get a slight edge, which is fine.
Yeah. I mean, for me, just to comment about this, I thought when they first announced, like, the first season, just having the ladder be relevant was really cool, right? That was like, oh, yes, that's, like, what we've been wanting, and even in StarCraft for, like, the longest time, is just to have the ladder mean something. And so that was step one, and it was great. First season was great. Second, you know, continuing into this season, I felt there weren't many changes. And I think because there weren't many changes, it kind of felt... You know, it just didn't feel new and fresh. So it kind of fell, the storyline kind of just fell off until, you know, the recent months. And I think it'd be nice if they restructured things. And I know there are plans. So there are some plans for 2016. I'm sure Ray probably knows it, but he can't say anything. But there are some plans to change some things up. And hopefully it involves some changes that keeps the storyline fresh. You know, WCS with StarCraft, and, you know, one of the things they do is they have these... you know, these cutoffs, right? There's like seasons within the year, and it kind of, you know, makes for semi-big events throughout the year leading up to BlizzCon, which is nice. I think that would be kind of cool for Hearthstone to adapt something like that. You know, other games have like majors, you know, and that sort of thing too. That would be cool too for Hearthstone and any of the Blizzard esports titles. Yeah, I think that'd be great. Fairness-wise, I think it's pretty fair already. Yeah, some of the tournaments give points for invites and stuff, but it doesn't seem to make a huge difference. I mean, can you recall anybody getting in because of that type of situation?
Most of the players that got invites, like, got a lot of points from ladder as well, so I don't think it made too much of a difference.
Do you guys like the ladder system, like the current one? Is it still good? Oh, all right, right now, there's a like, no right there.
I mean, points should be given for ladder, but, like, when you're talking about the difference of... Okay. In order to get good ladder finishes, I don't think anyone's going to disagree that you play like 20 hours a day for the last couple of days of the month, and it's like so streaky that the amount of points given that are the difference between like first place and like 20th place is absurd.
Yeah, I agree. Like
so that spread needs to be a lot smaller, and that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about? What do you think about the points only being given at after the very last day? Do you think there should be any merit to taking rank one, like, first, or even just early in the months and things like that?
No, definitely not first, because then you would have 6-0, like, being first in every region.
Well, I mean, you'd have a ton of people playing, like, you know, 6-0 just happens to be, you know, famous for that, and he obviously tries to do that every month, but you'd have a lot of people trying.
Other people like sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, though, and I do think it shouldn't just be like at the end of every month. It's like it depends on when you finish, because you have some players they're playing all three servers just to try to like maximize their chances of getting that finish, and in that sense, it's actually just pay to win.
Okay, all right, that's true. Okay, that's I can see where you're coming from with that. All right, next question here. We got, let's see, there was... Okay, do you guys, so Sparkly Yuna, do you guys think the OTK-style decks are helping or hurting Hearthstone? It seems like Blizzard's stance is that they are against it because they want more interaction with minions, board control, but it seems like players want more variety of decks and would try to find an OTK-style deck anyhow.
Yeah, OTK decks are sweet. I don't know. Magic started rotating them out of the most popular format after a while. They had like some combo decks, but basically all of like the OTK type of ones they removed, which actually took a lot of the variety out of competitive play. But you can't really compare the two games, right? Because Magic had a lot more ways to interact. You have counter spells, you have discard. So you could actually interact with those kinds of decks. But yeah, I think those decks will always exist, even after they nerf Patron. There's Raging Morgan combo. Rogue can still do Absurd Burst with Oil. Yeah. Then you can do like Faceless Sousy Deckhand Burst. And all of it involves charge minions in some way, pretty much always. But, I mean, you know, it's what the mechanic does. And you can still do Leroy combo. So I think that those combo decks will always exist, and they'll just nerf the broken ones. But in this case, they didn't even nerf it because it was broken. They nerfed Warsong because of Warsong, not because of the Patron deck, I think.
Yeah.
From a spectator perspective, I like the idea that there are OTK decks, which is exactly the problem that I see maybe with BlizzCon in the coming weeks. Right now, we pretty much have tempo decks as like the main decks going on, and it's fairly obvious in the early stages of the game, like which deck has a definitive advantage, like in the first three or four turns. Whereas with OTK decks versus tempo decks, there's always like a tension building up between the two decks, where the tempo deck seems to be like it's winning all the time or the entire game, and then the OTK deck just comes out of nowhere. And from the spectator perspective, I think that's pretty exciting.
Personally, I don't think Hearthstone needs OTK decks as an archetype.
I don't think there's any way to remove them, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to happen. Like, there's going to be cards that slip by. Like, Blizzard doesn't see the synergies between two cards, and it just happens. Yeah, there's no way around it. But I think in Hearthstone, it's just really hard to balance.
Well, I think one of the issues with the OTK decks, correct me if I'm wrong, up to date, has been that the OTK decks have just been by far the strongest deck. Like, it's never been like good in a certain matchup or that sort of thing. I mean, I think generally, maybe some aggro decks were good against like some earlier OTK decks, but
I don't think Patron's the strongest deck. I think Druid is.
Yeah, yeah. My point was, is I feel like some of the OTK decks have just been just too strong in the history, but having OTK decks, I like OTK decks. Like, I just wish we could find one that was, you know, just proper, or just not just easily the strongest deck, you know, consensus. And Ray, you're saying that Grim Patron wasn't even the strongest, so.
Yeah, good. But yeah, like, so many decks are good. But, like, things like Midrange Hunter or Druid are, like, probably better. I think that, I don't really know how I put it. Like, I think that OTK decks will always kind of emerge in one way or another, not because of mistakes that Blizzard makes, but just because of the way the metagame self-corrects. You'll have aggro and you'll have control going at it, but then if the control decks start fighting too fair and become things like Dragon Priest, then even the weakest OTK combos destroy those decks. Mm-hmm. So things like Leroy Power Overwhelming, Rogue. So they're going to have good matchups in a natural metagame cycle at some point. So we'll see what that next combo deck is. But I think there will pretty much always be one that exists until they nerf, until they take charge out of the game.
Yeah,
basically.
Charge is the big issue, right?
Every card with charge. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, yeah. What are your views on OTK with charge-based finishes versus, like, Malygus finishes? I mean, do you have internally different feelings on both of them, or
they're basically the same, right?
Okay, I just wasn't sure if people, you know, felt like they were different just because.
I think it's slightly different since there's more counterplay involved when they're charge minions. Like, you can protect yourself with taunts,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with spells, like, there's no such thing as a spell taunt yet.
Both of, I guess, protects you from ones.
Yeah, I mean, you never hear somebody complain about Malygus tech though.
That's because it sucked.
Yeah.
Right.
But if it didn't, people would complain.
Yeah.
And to be fair, is Malygos like the only exception to the charge rule for OTK? Is there any non-Malygos, non-charge OTK? I don't think there is.
No. I mean, I can't see how it's even possible.
Yeah. I guess there's like Freeze Mage, sort of, but.
Yeah, it's two turns, basically, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, both. We forgot about
Oh, yeah. Her. What am I talking about? That's right.
Natural predator to Malygos.
It's so bad.
Oh, man. All right. I guess there's a question here for Jab. Where was that? I just, like, scrolled.
Oh, yeah, Prophet Velen, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, Nikita. Oh, man, all these Russian and European names. Zrevlev. My God. Tejav, now the patron will be gone. What do you think will happen with Hunter? Which deck will be the strongest one? Do you expect mid-range to die because the meta will become overwhelmingly aggressive? So I think we're talking about Hunter here.
I mean, you just play a faster Hunter deck if the meta is more aggressive. I think Hunter was even like really strong before Patron was nerfed. Had a lot of success with it recently.
The Face Hunter or
like just mid-range?
Mid-range Hunter, okay.
Yeah, Face Hunter was not really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mid-range was in a fine spot already. It maybe even gets better because Patron was probably one of the worst matchups. It's like 40-45% for mid-range against Patron.
All right, yeah, so maybe we'll start seeing some more Hunter in at least competitive play. You guys agree, Monk, Ray?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Okay, let's see.
I mean, mid-range isn't so cancerous.
Yeah. No. Diablo 3, Sridge, I guess. Reynad, first, I want to say that you are an excellent commentator. Big up. To the question, will we see you rise up the great player you can be for next Worlds? Or is the focus on other projects like Tempo Storm?
Not another time, man. Like, in order to get that last 5% edge on other pros, it's like an extra 10 hours a day. It's just not worth the time. I have so much other stuff I have to do, unfortunately. I'll always be decent. I don't know. And, you know, with crunch time before tournaments, maybe I can get it up to like a 55% win rate or something. But I will always be... As long as my win percentage is at least 50, I'm not going to go the extra mile because it takes too much time. It's very like diminishing returns to do better.
How involved are you with even just the team kind of discussions for strategy?
We talk a lot in Skype, mm-hmm. but it's more just like running ideas by each other. There's no like scheduled practice sessions or anything unless right. there are major tournaments coming up. Like there were... Like for ATLC, for example, there were practice sessions for BlizzCon qualifiers. We had those. But yeah, most of the time for your average like weekend tournament, it's, you know, we play a lot of ladder and we run ideas by each other, but there's not much to be involved in regards to practicing.
Yeah, well, most of the game is just like tech theory rather than playing. Like you can just run the games on ladder.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Abinay Asmari, we'll take a couple more here. Monk, I'll kind of direct this one to you. What do you want the next expansion to be like?
That's a very broad question.
Wish list.
I would like a mechanic that doesn't feel as gimmicky as Joust, I guess. And I would actually like some kind of deck to be introduced where it's not just like a simple tempo deck, like something more similar to, dare I say it, like Patrons, right?
Just not something linear.
Nothing that's like too linear. So you feel like it's just like a boxing match back and forth, and it's more like a chess match.
I'm actually just so sad. This is a little off topic. I'm actually so sad that Patron's gone as like the top deck, or top deck, because whatever is next top deck, it's going to have so much less play.
Less play. Oh, you mean just
like less play to it? Yeah, people are gonna get mad at whatever beats them. They're gonna get sick of losing. It's just like with Patron, at least the bad players you would beat and the good players you would lose to. So it felt like
true. Yeah.
I definitely don't want to see just like secret pallies and stuff like that, which is requires a lot less ability in my opinion.
Yeah.
Jason Bone asks, what would make Shaman a much more competitive hero in Hearthstone? More card draw, better card quality, or lessening the overload cost on current Shaman cards? If better card quality, what type of card would Shaman need to get to be good?
Yeah, overload is a huge problem. Like the overload cards like Feral aren't even that strong anymore as they used to be. Like Lightning Storm is worse after Nax with all the death rattles.
So readjustments needed for some of the overload cards?
Yeah, they just need better early game as well. Like, give Shaman a card like Mini Bot, and it's instantly the best class in the game.
Yeah.
Really? You think so? One card, like a mini bot?
Maybe one or two, yeah. Like, they tried with Totem Golem that ended up being mediocre. Totemic is pretty bad, too.
I still think Totem Golem's good, but yeah, it needs one more.
Yeah, it would have been nice if Totem Golem was... Oh, gosh, yeah. I don't know how you adjust that. So it's a little clunky right now with the one overload.
I think more of the problem is that Minibot is just disgusting.
Minibot into Muster is, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculously good.
The other problem is that it always seems to be competing with Paladin. They're, like, very similar decks, and you can see it in how Blizzard designed Justicar Trueheart. They didn't give Shaman two totems. They gave Shaman the ability to choose a totem, which is worse.
You can have two spell power totems, though.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. If you didn't have to choose, then most of the time you get the totem you want anyway. So it's pretty similar.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's really sad that they didn't just give it double totem. And, yeah, the way the hero powers line up is very bad for Shaman. 1/1s destroy O2s. But, yeah, like, I don't know. The class will be good. It just needs, like, a couple more good cards. This last expansion was actually a step in the right direction because, it could have been a lot worse. But we'll see.
For Shaman, you mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not going to single-handedly fix the problem, but it helped a little, I think.
Yeah, the recent Shaman cards were, like, way overhyped, though. They ended up just being mediocre.
Well, I guess follow-up to this, GP Lestard asks, when TGT was announced and cards revealed, the reviews were mostly negative because the new cards did not compete with the existing ones. Do you think nerfing the auto-include cards like Piloted Shredder when new expansion rolls out would make the game healthier and solve the incoming problem of formats in Hearthstone?
That's one way to do it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that.
You are a fan of that, Jeb?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that's ever going to happen, though, especially with Piloted Shredder. I know Blizzard really likes Piloted Shredder because it adds a lot more randomness, a lot more, like, quote-unquote fun to not only gameplay but broadcast, where you can see, like, something cool and amazing happens every single time.
It's just limits design space so much because they don't really want to make a 4-drop that's better than Shredder. It'll just be...
Well, I mean, you don't have to... I think you could keep Shredder as dropping, like, something, like, random like that. It's just... What about 3-3 Shredder? I mean, at least there would be some kind of thought. There's no thought right now. Everybody just adds it.
Yeah.
Like, we were just talking about Refreshment Vendor earlier, right? And it's like, how is that better than Shredder? There's, like, no way, so...
Yeah, I heard Shredder was actually originally a 3-3, but they buffed it so it would see more play, because it's a card that Blizzard, they want people to play.
About 3-4 Shredder. That'd be better or worse.
A little worse.
4-2 maybe.
4-2? Oh wow. Okay. Is the health an issue right now? I guess it is an issue for some of the removal. Okay. Yeah. I mean, so generally, you think nerfing or no? No. I mean, Jab obviously thinks yes. Monk Raynad.
Yeah, I definitely want to see more variety in 4-drops, like Fog Guard Destroyer, Water Elemental. I think it's almost criminal that they don't get played.
Yeah. It's one of the many solutions, but they're not going to do that. Blizzard doesn't like changing cards.
Yeah,
it's going to just continually get more powerful. But power creep will be an issue, though. I mean, it's inevitable, like, going this direction. All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it for the Q&A. Thanks for all your questions today, and lots of good ones. Just lots of people just writing in. And it's always great to have you guys part of the show, too. But that's going to be it, guys, for the show. Great episode. We had some great discussions today. Lots of fun. Jab, having you for the first time again. It's always a pleasure,
Thanks
man.
Thanks for having me on.
Why don't we do some shout-outs, you know, plugs, anything you guys want to do here. Jab, you want to go first?
Shout-out to my team, Hearthlytics, and our sponsor, Esports Hero.
All right,
Mo. Well, thanks, Chatman, Reyna, Jab, for doing a show with me. Thanks, thanks, guys, for having me on. Thanks to Tumblestorm and Value Town.
Right.
Yeah, shout out to you guys for watching. Thanks for tuning in. I like seeing the show grow week after week. It's good. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got. I think I'm going to... shout out to Monk and Jab for coming on, and all our sponsors, of course. I think I'm going to stream in like an hour or two, but
okay.
Yeah, hopefully you guys tune into that.
All right, awesome. Yeah, just wrap things up. Thanking again you guys, Jab, Monk, and Ray, for doing their show today. Monk, we can't wait to see, obviously, you and BlizzCon kind of get a chance to catch up. And Jab, good luck, obviously, in going into to this big opportunity for you, so definitely rooting for you. Do well there. And Ray, of course, every week. It's always a pleasure getting a chance to do this with you and work with you on Valuetown. And all of you guys, thanks for watching. And we're going to try to stick to this Wednesday time slot. So you can just expect Valuetown to be on these slots. From time to time, we'll have an arena episode that will have to be at night, given that I kind of went crip involved with that. I think I mentioned that before. But you can expect Valuetown to be at this time slot each Wednesday. So put that on your calendars and expect it. Of course, VODs will be available. Again, I want to remind you, there's a Patreon for this, for Valuetown, patreon.com/Valuetown. Lots of cool things there, rewards and milestones that we're trying to get to. And, of course, BlizzCon's coming up, too. I'm going to try to organize an episode there. I'm working on it, so hopefully we can do a Valuetown from there. If not, I'd like to at least try to get some kind of meetup or something like that, while people are at BlizzCon. That'd be kind of fun to have, like, a Valuetown-centric one. So look, definitely keep an eye out for plans for that. VODs will be available soon, of course. Audio's, just the same on iTunes. I got a FeedBurner link now, too, so use that just so I can at least have an idea of how many people actually listen to the audios. But I'll post that really, really soon. But that's going to be it for Valuetown this week, guys. So for Jab, Monk, and Raynad, and myself, ChamMV, we'll see you next week. Later.